welcome to the ASCD podcast, supporting you on your journey as a life-changing educator. Here's your host for today's program.
Hi, everyone. I'm Anthony Rivora, the Chief Content Officer for ASCD ISD. As schools grow more diverse, cultural proficiency skills for educators and leaders are increasingly in demand, or at least talked about. But what exactly does cultural proficiency mean in practice? How do educators develop these skills? And how do they help break down the biases and exclusionary practices that limit many students? To explore these questions, I'm joined today by Huda Issa, who is a cultural proficiency expert, a TEDx speaker, and a former teacher. She's the author of the important new book, The Consciously Unbiased Educator, which delves into how educators can uproot inequitable practices and habits and tap the limitless potential of their school communities. Welcome, Huda. It's great to have you on our program.
Well, thank you so much. I am honored to be here.
So as I mentioned, your book focuses on the importance of cultural proficiency for educators today. What does cultural proficiency mean to you?
Cultural proficiency to me is really having a heightened and well-informed awareness that creates a really highly developed ability to learn about different groups, identities, cultures, ideas, perspectives, and really all things that help us to utilize diversity as an asset. And that is going to help us, of course, lead or acquire greater achievement for everyone and allow us to become greater advocates for positive change and become more confident in doing so.
So one thing you say in the book that's interesting is that cultural proficiency requires unlearning as much as learning. Can you expand on that?
Absolutely. That really started with my own experience. Being a child, growing up in the U.S. and absorbing all these messages that the world was teaching me. And it really taught me mentality of kind of otherizing people where I felt I didn't fit in, but then most other people didn't fit in either. And it really took me to unlearn a lot of those ideas that I was taught about what is so-called normal, for me to recognize that the truth was that all of that learning that I did really did require some unlearning so that I could learn some truths. And when I look at it in hindsight, it really is ironic and poignant, because I was someone who was so desperate for empathy and sharing commonalities with other people and wanting to show that, and I wasn't doing it myself. And it was because of that, I really needed that unlearning to recognize, no, we do have all these commonalities. You just haven't been exposed to everyone with the various diverse perspectives that you need in order to see all of those commonalities.
Another term you use in the book is the unconscious bias cycle. Can you explain what that means in the context of education?
So we all as humans have unconscious biases. These are biases that form below the surface, and they're not as evident and out there as many of those blatant biases that people think of when they think of the term bias. So when we have these unconscious biases and we're not aware of them, most people are not aware of them, they end up showing up in our actions, whether we want them to or not. And for educators, it ends up meaning that our impact is not going to match our intent. And our intent is, I believe, for educators, vastly positive, but it doesn't end up resulting in those positive impacts. So let's start with educators. They've absorbed these unconscious biases that limit their perceptions and their beliefs, and they're not able to value diversity as the asset that it does provide us with. And it goes on to showing up in their actions and in their words, and then it ends up showing up in lowered expectations for students. We know, as educators, I think most educators know the value of having high expectations for students. And when we don't, those students have lowered expectations for themselves. So now the students have lowered expectations, and then they achieve less, and then they end up not being as successful in higher education, in careers, and then they are showing up less in those positions. So we're seeing less of them there, And it just perpetuates the status quo, and it confirms all of these stereotypes, and it just, the cycle keeps on going.
So you note that the journey towards cultural proficiency and addressing these biases is not usually a linear one, but are there some key steps that educators can take? Like, where should a teacher or school leader start if they want to improve in these areas?
Starting with awareness, just really starting to pay more attention to the thoughts that come up. And one of the skills that I teach in the Consciously Unbiased Educator is to pay attention to moments of surprise. And, you know, for example, if you see a class list and you see a name on there, or even an email, and you see a name on there, and then you meet the person, and they are not what you thought of, and it's a little surprising to you, or that you hear them speak, and it's not what you expected them to sound like, pay attention to those moments, because oftentimes, that moment of surprise is telling you, you had a preconceived notion that was incorrect. So when we pay attention to those preconceived notions that end up being incorrect, we can start to reflect more on them. So I teach what I call the three R's: review, reflect, resolve. So review the bias. What was the thought that came up? Reflect upon, okay, wait a minute. Why did that thought come up? So what do I think of when I see that name? What does that mean to me? Why do I have that thinking? What have I been exposed to throughout my life that led me to having that belief? And really kind of digging into it and start asking yourself, is it accurate though? Can I say for sure that that belief is accurate? And once you go through that learning, then you resolve to create more improved actions based on that wisdom that you've gained out of those reflections.
Yeah, and you have a lot about reflection and conversation in the book. Can you talk a little bit about what you mean by the programmed hush and the dangers of that?
I think that one of the norms in our American culture, and not just in America, in other countries too, but I would say living in America, I can say that this is definitely a norm for us, is that many people feel uncomfortable, and it's a learned discomfort around topics having to do with the current unjust status quo or marginalized identities. So people try to shy away from it, and a lot of times it has to do with shame. And what I want readers to do, and what I hope educators will learn to do, is to refute shame, because shame is only going to bring us down, and it's misplaced. A lot of times the shame that we're feeling is for what our ancestors did, or things that have occurred in history that have nothing to do with who we are today, because we can't choose the skin we're born into, the world or the society we're born into. So it's really learning to acknowledge, I don't have any control over what happened in the past, but I do have control over what I do today. I do have the responsibility to know better and do better, but we have to have the conversations to get there. So throughout the book, I want readers to engage in a sort of conversation with me to build that practice of how would I have the conversation with someone off the page, and how would I respond, and how would I react, and how can I use the information I gain to do better, know better?
So is there one thing you'd like readers to know about your book and your approach?
Yeah, I think what I shared about the conversation and knowing that I am coming from a place of empathy, I realized for myself that I had a lot of very limiting beliefs, and until I was made aware of them and until I was able to get started on that journey, I was making a lot of mistakes and I was hurting people through it, and really I was hurting myself. And I really want educators to know that most of all, this book is about empowerment for them. I want to build their confidence. I want them to feel like, you know what, I can have these so-called tough conversations, and we can get to a place where they won't be tough anymore, and we can be open about these things and really give them the hope in the future.
So you provide a great deal of data and examples on the negative impact of unconscious biases and exclusionary practices on students. What makes you optimistic about the potential of schools and educators to start building greater cultural proficiency and to address some of the very deeply entrenched issues you cite?
We have access to so much information now at our fingertips. And we have a lot more people who are willing to stand up and use that resolve, similar to what I mentioned before, of what have they learned? And I'm going to resolve to teach even more people about it. And I see that, you know, I work with schools around the nation, and it is so uplifting to meet countless educators who are so motivated about this topic and helping other educators to get there, to be in that place of feeling really empowered, confident, and together we will be stronger. So I have lots of hope. I believe it's on the horizon and it's already starting.
That is a great thought to close on. Thank you, Huda Issa, for taking the time to share your expertise and ideas with us. And thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. To learn more about Huda Issa's book, The Consciously Unbiased Educator, go to www.ased.org/books.